Turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, it'll be up here. For some reason, this one's... Oh, they're both off the chart today. All right, so we'll just try it. I think there's enough there. If not, I'll just read it. So they picked... Oh, you're going to just try it over again? Yeah, great time to do that. All right. Okay. Let me dance. Fill up the time. Okay. I'm just going to read it here, and then that way we'll be able to see the others. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now, how did we see that in Christ? When there's a storm, he's sleeping just like Jonah, and he gets up and says, "Peace be still." And the ocean is still. Well, they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and that made the sea be still. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay, yeah, see, that worked out great. Thanks, guys. All right. So we ended last week with Jonah being swallowed by a big fish. A fish especially prepared is kind of what the Hebrew says by God. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now what's interesting about this, and I want to just make a few comments with this, is that many scholars suggest that the book of Jonah isn't inspired because no fish could swallow a man, and then no fish could live... No person could live 3 days because he would be digested, among other problems, and therefore the claim is absurd. The one thing they leave out is God, right? So let's stop for a second. I want to look at a quick short video clip, okay? And this is a whale shark. And I want you to watch that swimmer. Okay, all right, now, he's fine, okay? the whale shark is a plankton eating shark, which means he skims the surface and takes off plankton, no teeth, and here's a shot just where he's coming back out, and plenty of room for him. So I'm not saying that's the fish that God prepared, I'm just saying it's possible, right? You see, that's just possible. He got sucked in because the whale shark, it's a shark, actually, rather than a whale, okay? And when you see it, it looks just like a shark does, but it's a huge, huge fish. Okay, so it doesn't eat meat, and so therefore it couldn't digest Jonah. Now, he may come out looking a little funny with all the acids and that kind of thing. And I think that's probably why the people in Nineveh thought, you know, I think he was swallowed by a whale, right? Or by a fish or whatever. So this is just an example, as I say. And you know, when scholars suggest that it couldn't have happened without a man dying, well, Jonah didn't die. Jonah made it just... It's certainly not a problem for God, is it? Stories I've looked up over years, and there's one story that a lot of Christian preachers still use today. I don't know if it's true, but let me just give you this story. It rose in the 1880s with a man named James Bartley, and he was on a whaling ship, and he went out from the boat on a skiff to harpoon the whale, and the whale came up and knocked him over into the water, swallowed him, and as far as the people on the ship were concerned, he was gone. Well, they harpooned the whale, and 3 days later, they pulled it up. It had died, and they pulled it up, and the sailors began to cut up the whale, and they got to the stomach, and there was some movement, and so they got the ship's physician, which who knows what that would be, okay, and they cut the lining of the stomach, and out this guy rolled unconscious, okay, and so he finally came to, and he ran around the decks for a couple hours like a madman, and then calmed down, and he was okay. And that's a picture of the guy, supposedly, who had done that. Whether that's a true story, I don't know. And you know what? I don't care. Because here's the thing. We don't need proof. We're talking about a miracle here. When the scripture suggests that the fish is prepared by God, we are in miracle territory. And the issue isn't that Jonah survived the fish, but that maybe the fish survived Jonah. Because God was preparing that fish for him as he created scripture. And, you know, I look at it and I think, well, you know, if these scholars are upset about the Jonah story, what about the rest of the Bible? I mean, look at it. Jesus raises up Lazarus after being dead for 4 days, okay? Is it really so odd that God could keep Jonah alive when you stop to think about it? Or Jairus' daughter had died and he rose her from the dead. Or the widow's son rose him from the dead. Or let's take the lame. Jesus told a lame man, take up your bed and walk. And he did. And Peter duplicates that in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 5, where he's talking, he's going along, and this guy's begging, and he says, money I don't have, but by the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man stood up and walked. And we see these miracles all through the Bible. So these scholars, if they don't believe that Jonah could stay alive, they pretty much have zeroed out the Bible. All right? And in this particular case, Jonah's experience is a sign that we're going to see when Jesus comes along. And you remember that in Matthew 10, 38, that Jesus says, this is the sign of Jonah. And he goes into the center of the earth for 3 days and rises again. And so on the third day, he rises, and on the third day, Jonah is spit out alive. Both happened. So we aren't going to debate the special fish. I don't think there's a need to do that. God, our God, simply made it happen. Amen?
Amen.
And so the fish swallows Jonah, and Jonah's in that belly of the fish, and what's really unbelievable is up to that point, Jonah is still unrepentant. You remember us talking about that, how he was unrepentant, he was going the opposite way of what God wanted him to do, and finally he gets thrown into the sea, finally he gets swallowed by a fish, and throwing Jonah into the sea was still not enough for him. It didn't do the trick for this hard-hearted prophet. I mean, I think, man, that's wild. I mean, you know, when they, I don't know how you would feel, but if you're on a deck in a storm and they're going to throw you over, I'm repenting now, right? Man, I'm going to repent. Not Jonah, hard-hearted, hard-headed maybe. But just think about it. Jonah's in the water, and all of a sudden the storm begins to calm, and he's treading water. Just put yourself in his place for a minute. You're treading water, and you see the boat as it starts disappearing. And all of a sudden, this big, giant mouth opens up and swallows you. And all of a sudden, you're inside, and wham, you're gulped down. And anybody claustrophobic yet? Man, I'm telling you, that would be wild. And who knows what else was in the stomach? I mean, just think about it for a minute. Seaweed or half-digested muck or seawater, bile, stomach acids, fish stench for 3 days and three nights. I don't know if his nose got used to it or what, but it sure would wake you up, wouldn't it? And I think we have the picture in our head, so let's make some applications. We're going to be looking at God's attitudes towards those who run and come back. And you remember, we started out this study that God gives second chances, amen?
Amen.
He gives us second chances and third and fourth. And in chapter 2 communicates to us Jonah's prayer and God's answer to his prayer. Can you hear all that rumbling behind me? Okay. Let me just see. Is it this one? I have a feeling it is. Oh, there's one. No, that didn't stop it. Do you know? Do you want me to just turn that off? Oh, you got it? Okay, good. All right. I thought that was the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. So let's begin reading the prayer that Jonah has. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Ah, now he's starting to get it, right? He starts praying and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And when he says affliction in Hebrew, it means my hostility, my anxiety, my stress. And what's the next words? And he answered me. What a gracious God we have. Look at his hard-headedness from the time he left Joppa and got on that boat and wouldn't repent and he wouldn't repent and wouldn't repent all the way to being swallowed by a fish. And inside this fish, he finally breaks down and cries out because of his stress and because of his anxiety. You know, God waits for our repentance, doesn't he? And have you ever noticed that we can pray and pray for change in whatever plagues us in our life? But there's a huge difference between acknowledgement and repentance. And so many times in our life, in my life, I've prayed for relief from a problem in some manner, but it really hasn't hit the core of my heart. Do you know, am I talking to you? And I'll say, God, I don't want this to happen, but there's a little piece of me that doesn't mind it staying there. You know, because somehow I think it's going to meet a need or whatever. And that's not repentance. That's sorrowful acknowledgement. And I don't want the hassle in my life until finally I come to the place of repentance. But acknowledgement and sorrowful acknowledgement is not true repentance. Let me give you a definition of true repentance in the Encarta Dictionary. To feel regret about a sin and past actions and change your ways or habits. True repentance is turning 180 degrees, just the opposite way in our thoughts and actions to walk in righteousness. Isn't that what you want? I mean, you know, the flesh is weak. I know that's what you want. But let me just make a statement here, and it seems like a silly statement, but you'll understand why I'm saying there is no modification to righteousness. Right? No modification to righteousness. Righteousness is righteousness. Why isn't regret with acknowledgement enough? Because down deep, we aren't completely giving up. We're hoping to give it up, but we're wanting the option to possibly do it again and expect different results, right? And they aren't there. I don't know what your particular problems are, but I know you all have them. Now, let me give an example of this. Let's say someone wants to stop smoking. This is a pretty neutral one, okay? And we acknowledge the issues. It's bad for our health. Too many people end up on oxygen and die early, and we acknowledge that, and we're sorry that we ever started smoking in the first place. But completely stopping, that's hard to fathom. Because there's a thread of wanting to keep our options open. I mean, let me give you a great example of this. I have a friend in California, and he was having a hard time breathing, so he went into the hospital, and they found some spots on his lungs. He'd been a smoker all of his life. And so he was pretty remorseful, and he said, I don't know why I smoke. It's a filthy habit. I'll never smoke another cigarette again. Been there for you who've been smokers in the past or still present? So he stopped cold turkey. I mean, he just stopped. And we thought, wow, that's amazing after his whole life. Well, several months later, he went for a return appointment, and they re-x-rayed his lungs, and the spots in the lungs weren't there. And so the doctor said, well, you're clear. So the next time we drove up to his house, he's sitting on the porch smoking. And so Debbie says to him, I thought you quit smoking. He said, I did, but the spots turned out to be nothing. Jonah may have sorrow about the storm, putting the lives of the seamen in jeopardy, and even disobeying God, but he might even have sorrow for not following God, but he hoped for different results. And I don't know what those were in Jonah's life. Maybe he hoped that God would get angry with Nineveh because they would be harder and God would reconsider. Or maybe he thought, well, maybe he'll just pick another prophet and leave me alone. But I think we're safe in saying that Jonah was unrepentant. But in the belly of the fish for 3 days, he's left with no hope, no alternative, and now he comes to repentance. And sometimes that's the way it is for us, isn't it? And it took extreme measures. Would you agree? It took extreme measures in his life to get Jonah to a place of repentance. And so he's in the fish, he's in there for 3 days, and he cries out to God, and God answers him. And that's good news for you and I. Because we get to that place, and I bet you can even conceive of the idea of feeling like you're in that fish, claustrophobic, man, I can't take it anymore, and you cry out, and God hears your cry, and he answers your cry. A God of second chances. The goal really here is getting to repentance rather than acknowledgement. And the real question for you and I is how much is it going to take for you and I to reach that point to repent of those things that are in our life that shouldn't be there? God is there waiting for you. He's waiting for you to turn to him, and he's waiting for you to give up. Because we can't do it without him. We might even ask the question, well, why would God wait? Because he's waiting for Jonah to get to the place to repent, and it's called grace. Grace. God's grace. That was gracious of God. There's no other way to put it. Jonah deserves to be digested and become a nasty part of the fish, and he deserves whatever befalls him. And so do we. Amen? Amen? So do we. He's rebelled against God just as we have. But God Almighty is a God of grace. Man, it takes me back to the writer of Amazing Grace, a drunk on a ship, a whaler ship, and he finally comes to the place where he comes to Christ, and he writes the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that true for us? So here's my final question. Will you change your acknowledgement of whatever issues you have in your life to repentance? And cry out to God in the area you haven't given him, and give it to him. Father, we come this morning. Thank you, O Lord, that you're a God of grace. Father, we come this morning looking at Jonah's life and thinking that we're not like him. And yet we find out we are. We're just like him. We may not be as hard-headed as he was in some cases, but I think in other cases we may just be just as much or more hard-headed. Certain places, Lord, in our hearts, in the corners, we don't give you. So, Lord, we bend our knee this morning to you, asking you to draw us to repentance if we can't get there. And if we can, Lord, we repent this morning of those things in our life that shouldn't be there. Lord, and we want to turn around 180 degrees and head for righteousness in our life. Be your people and serve you. All your heads are bowed. You may have come this morning, and maybe you came and don't have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible said that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on in the same verse to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship, how we can be in heaven for eternity with God. And it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friends, if I'm talking to you today, I'm going to give a little prayer, nothing magical about the prayer, just help to draw you in to what that verse said. And you just pray along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life. And the prayer goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life, the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. I surrender my life to you. My heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, just raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business this morning. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Father, we are so grateful. We love you so. May you be glorified today in all that we do and say. And Lord, continue to help us walk in righteousness, walk the way you want us to walk. And we thank you so much for your forgiveness and your grace as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.